Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Andrew Filippone, Chris Muller, Doran Dickerson's in studio with us for the next 2 hours. Steiny producing. We have a special surprise guest for Doran in an hour and a half. We are not telling him who it is. I can tell you, everyone right now, I'll give you this clue. Doran will be blown away by the guest, the effort Chris and I have made to book this guest. It will bring out the best in you as a football analyst and talk show host.
I was looking at your tweet that you put out before every show of showing the script of every show.
Yep.
And who's on it. And I was hoping that you slipped up and
put the person on it. Oh, no. Here, how about this, Doran? I've got my little printed out show sheet, my friend. What does it say right there at 3:30?
Mystery guest. why would you tell me this right now? Because now this is all I'm going to think about.
Because I think it's going to bring out the best in you. Because that person might be listening to you right now.
Iron sharpens iron.
Exactly. And might be thinking, I need to be on my P's and Q's and ready to go with Doran at 3:30. And I better listen to Doran to get a good sense for what Doran's all about.
I better scout him, if you will.
Yes, exactly.
I think I know who it is.
I think you don't.
Well, keep that
honestly
to yourself.
I got a feeling.
It's not Wani. I've already gotten text. Dave Wannstedt coming on. No, he's not. Not today. Another time he'll be on with us.
It's close to him.
But we will book Wani at some point. Probably for the Bears game, I think Wani would be a perfect contributor. He's still doing stuff in Chicago. He's still, when Mueller texts him,
he answers
back to him.
When you throw a Doran Dickerson game in your number, it's an immediate yes.
I have a little bit of pull. Just a little bit.
A little bit? You got Wani to come and talk to me about probably one of the worst moments of his professional life.
How many S-bombs well,
working
did he
with
drop?
Steve Peterson? That's What's on Tap, brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, Pittsburgh's premier craft destination with over 500 beers. Steelers, Bengals, let's start with this, boys. Watt, his comments, he's leaving the door open. I think he feels the pressure to play because of the $80 million guaranteed. I think that sets a whole new kind of expectations for him as a player for this franchise, what he means to the Steelers. Everyone already knows he's their best defensive player. Everyone already knows he's their best player. But I could put myself in his shoes and think, you gave me all this money. If it's 50-50, I got to go out there and show everybody that I'm willing to play through pain, get it done, and find a way to be an effective player. I can't let my guys down. I left the game. We lost to the Raiders. I'm going to make sure I'm out there for Sunday. Thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I think that it's more of we have to win, and this is a division game. I think he knows how important this
urgency
game is.
Already? Game three?
Yes. I mean, just coming off of a home loss, their home opener.
They're 2-0 right now. You think maybe he rests?
Yes. Yes. And a groin injury. I mean, I don't know if you guys ever pulled your groin. I mean,
I've pulled areas down there for sure. What?
Already?
Injuries. I had penis surgery. Everybody knows about that. We'll address the elephant in the room.
I don't think that's the kind of pulling you were talking about, but I have, in fact, pulled my groin muscle.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
You said areas down there.
Yeah. You didn't specify.
I said groin. You said, yeah, I've pulled areas down there.
The groin area.
You said areas.
Okay. Anyways, you've pulled your groin before. Groin expert Doran Dickerson, tell us more.
It is a very serious injury, and it could trickle to more injuries. When I pulled my groin, I was out for probably 4 weeks, and then that trickled to my back, my low back, because it's all tied together, and then I slipped my L4 out, and it still slips out to this day. This was back in 2012, which then, now that my back wasn't stable from my groin injury, That's why I believe I blew up my hip flexor and then blew out my Achilles. Not saying anything's going to happen to TJ, but it is a serious injury for those people that are out there saying, oh, he could play with a groin. He, you know, you could just, it doesn't matter.
Tape it up.
Tape it up.
Yeah. Wrap his leg up.
Yeah, get some stim and ice on it.
Yeah.
Stim.
So,
I mean, as
do you just, buy the pressure aspect that comes with the contract, Chris?
No, I don't.
You don't?
Actually, I wish I agreed with you, but I'm fully on Doran's side here as to why, if he's motivated to play and try to get in this game, even if he's less than 100%, I totally think TJ Watt is cognizant of exactly how bad it is for their offense right now and how his presence could be the thing that decides this game, or lack thereof. I don't think if you are a Watt brother that you are that motivated by contractual pressure, because he's got his older brother out there who's signed big money deals, who knows that pressure. He knows he's been really good. He would have felt that buzzing pressure all training camp when he's not participating. He gets the deal. Tell me again his stats through two games. 3 sacks, couple forced fumbles.
Mm-hmm. 5 QB hits.
The guy has balled out already. He didn't feel any pressure those first two games. I think he more feels pressure to play if he does, because he knows his team isn't very good on the other side of the ball.
So we've already reached a situation where it's week 3, and the Steelers' two most important players, their quarterback and TJ Watt, might feel like, man, we have injuries that if we play could get much worse, but it's worth the risk because that's how much this game means. Roethlisberger, I'm going to be in pain on every throw.
Players always want to play, though.
Watt, groin injury? Yeah.
Players always want to go out there and play. I don't know if...
But you know the old saying...
TJ Watt leaving the door open is just TJ Watt clearly wants to play and he hopes the coaches will let him. You said this yesterday, though, so I don't know why you're surprised by this, that the players might feel the same way. You said 1-1 feels like 0-10 to me. I think off the air, on the air, or both. And that feels the way it is with the fan base. Like, don't you sense, Doran? Yeah. You go on Twitter, it feels like there's some angst. Or if you see people saying, hey, guys, hold up, it's more like they're pleading for it to be true, not that they actually believe that things aren't as bad as they seem.
Yeah, and especially coming off a loss and the way that you lost and, you know, at home, like I just said, it gives you more motivation to get back out there and try to scramble, get a win at home again. You're home back-to-back, so that's huge.
He also saw what happened, TJ Watt did, after he left that game with the injury.
Right.
Even though they still occasionally got pressure, Derek Carr cooked him in the second half primarily, made the big throw in the second half.
Let me ask you guys a question. If Highsmith wasn't also hurt, and Watt could look at the situation, the coaches too, and say, we can beat a bad Bengals team with a crappy offensive line with Ingram and Highsmith. We don't need to rush Watt back. We're going to sit him down and say, hey, TJ, we know how badly you want to play. But just to your point, Dorn, a lot of bad can come out of rushing it. Let's sit you down. We got two capable guys here that can get the job done. But now you might not, because Highsmith's groin injury is even worse. So if Watt doesn't play, it's Melvin Ingram and Jameer Jones.
Here's something about that. That's a fair point, and it's, I'm sure how...
I mean, the player might not think that way, but I think the coaches do.
But here's... Well, I was actually going to attack it from Mike Tomlin and Keith Butler's point of view. The one thing we know about the Bengals, and they already have their one guard, Suafilo, hurt, and he's, what, not going to go?
Carmen's going to start in his place.
Yeah, Jackson Carmen.
Oh, Jackson Carmen, I mean. I don't know why I got that other guy on my brain. Yeah, Jackson
Ken
Carmen
from
Clemson.
If Jackson Carmen's a backup guard on this team, Ken Carmen might be better than him because they're that bad. The interior of their line, I'm not trying to get into the weeds here, but their interior linemen suck. Guards and center. Trey Hopkins sucks. He's given up like 3 or 4 sacks already this year that have been charged to him. If I were the Steelers coaches, I'd look at Cam Hayward and Melvin Ingram and say, that should be enough against this team. Hey, Cam, you are probably the second best interior lineman next to Aaron Donald in the entire sport right now.
So you would be more inclined to tell Watt to sit it out than Ben?
Yes.
So what's
because
more,
the depth at outside linebacker versus having to go to Rudolph in a game like this?
The depth of pass rushers, too.
What's more important, a division win or resting your 2-star players?
Well, of those two, though, I would rather rest Watt because
if you think that there's a risk that both guys could do serious damage and miss real time or have the injury bother them all season long by playing.
Or does this game mean a lot for the season? Does this division game mean a lot? I think it does.
I think it means a ton for them. But I think you have to ask yourself if you trust the rest of the players on your team to beat the Bengals without those guys.
I don't.
Neither one of you guys do?
I don't think so.
I don't. Like, I think they're in a tough spot. I put the should TJ Watt play this week up on Twitter as a poll. It's basically 50-50 right now. We're several hundred votes in, and people are split. I think
I mean, they're going to assess. I mean, obviously, you guys know. The trainers, the coaches, they're going to assess and see where TJ's at, and then they're going to ask him if he can go.
But sometimes a player can be his own worst enemy where he forces it.
Absolutely. And I think this all ties into what we're talking about, you know, with my point of saying that he wants to go out there because they know they need to win a game. Your point saying that he just got this big contract, because that's all going to tie in. If he doesn't play, people are going to look at him and be like, why did we pay you
$80 million?
Would
coaches put pressure on a guy like that subtly?
Not this early.
You don't want to win the battle and lose the war. Like last night with the Carolina Panthers, you could make the argument, even though they're 3-0, that they won the battle and lost the war. Christian McCaffrey's hurt, and their first round pick corner is out for what, 3 months?
Yep.
I mean, that's the definition of what, a Pyrrhic victory?
Correct.
Like if you're in Charlotte today and you're a Panthers fan, not that there are many of them, but if you're David Tepper right
not
now and you're
great.
Counting $1 billion, $2 billion, $3 billion because you're bored, you're like, holy crap, two of our most important players are out for a long-ass time. That doesn't feel like a win. That feels like we're up you-know-what creek.
Well,
we still got to play the Bucs twice.
You're 3-0, and you feel like it's a damn good thing you're 3-0 and not even 2-1 because you're going to need every one
of those
wins.
Well, that's what I mean.
Look at the schedule. So the counter-argument to all of the caution here about TJ and about Ben and why you might have to play him is, who's next on the schedule? Green Bay and Denver. And Denver suddenly looks like a team that's going to be able to wreck your offense
badly. Well, that's what I mean. Skip this game and be closer to 100% for the
two
really tough games after this.
Say you lose this game because you skip it with both guys. It's Mason and it's the Jameer Jones experience as a starter. You lose this game because you absolutely could, because Burrow's absolutely good enough to beat you. 1-2, staring probably at 1-4.
No, I don't know. The Broncos is an automatic loss, but definitely staring at 1-3, because I don't think you're going to go to Lambeau and win.
The Broncos are unbeaten and look like the defense is very
much but they've also only played the Jaguars and Giants. But I get your point. They look good so far.
But they've also, I guess my point about them is, it hasn't been like they've struggled.
They've got a great defense.
Lawrence goes down the field on them first drive of the game and puts points on the board, and then they suffocate them. I'm just saying, against the Steelers, they are a particularly bad matchup because of what they do well.
Pony, I really like your point about Carolina and last night. I'd be sitting there and knowing that my quarterback's playing at a high level, and I'd be fine with other guys being hurt. If Ben Roethlisberger was playing at a really high level, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation right now. They probably would sit TJ Watt, right? Because Darnold is playing at a high level.
Say what you will about Ben and the way he struggled so far this year, and the way the offense has so many growing pains with the line, the new coordinator, game plan, play calls, etc. If the Steelers won on Sunday, but Ben took another big hit and had to leave the game, and there was like looming over it, he might be out for a long time. Even if Rudolph came in and like kept the car on the highway, that would not feel good. That would not, you'd be back to where you were 2 years ago. Like, oh, here we go.
Have different from 2 years ago is you've seen Mason Rudolph maybe play one pretty solid enough game against Cleveland
I still think that the Steelers' season hinges on Ben Roethlisberger. That motif still exists here. That if he's injured, your season goes up in flames.
I would agree with that. So the real question then becomes this. I think the thing to ask is, when Ben says, I'll have pain on every throw.
which is possible. I'm laughing, but it's just...
I mean, it's a Ben thing.
The fact that it's out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He made sure that one got out there. Dulac tweeted it out. He made sure that everybody knew that.
If it's his left pec instead of his right pec, where is the pain coming from on every throw?
It's all
connected.
We
have a ball. Get that ball in here.
It's all connected.
Get the ball.
I just told you about the throw.
All right, Doran, punch Chris in the left pec. That way it starts hurting.
Give me
and then.
Flare chop. All right, here. Yeah, here, come on. Put it on the video. Just give me an open palm.
No.
All right, fine.
Because I get to
Because then I'll be a witness to the lawsuit that Chris.
Exactly.
Hey, I just wanted a Ric Flair chop.
Yeah.
I'm imagining.
Don't knock the.
I mean, I'm not cutting it loose like an NFL quarterback.
Okay,
but.
Now do it in a game whenever you're getting rushed.
This is such a great scientific experiment. Now that we've thrown...
All right, I threw a deflated Franklin 1000 football.
Now
to
that
Pony,
we threw this
feet.
This ball that we bought for $9.99 at Target, we know exactly
Doran,
how Ben's feeling.
So
this is why athletes get pissed at talk show hosts for stuff like
this.
This
is why I'm about to leave.
No, you can't miss 3:30.
Yeah, I was going to say.
whatever with 3:30.
But I mean this seriously. I would love to get a real answer as to how injured he is. He said it's going to hurt him on every throw. You know the old hurt or injured joke? Are you hurt or are you injured? Injured being worse. If he is actually compromised to a pretty significant degree here, then I'd put Mason Rudolph in, because at some point there's a tipping point where not only are you risking Ben's further health, but he's probably not as good of a player as Rudolph. If he's like at 70%.
That's what I was going to bring up. That's what I was going to bring up, is that obviously the external evaluation by the three of us is that Mason Rudolph is not a very good quarterback, but I think the internal evaluation is higher than that. I mean, I don't think it's he's our next guy high, but I think they like Mason Rudolph more than the outside world does. I wonder, their own internal evaluation, if Ben is at 50%, how much better is he than Mason Rudolph?
Is he better than Mason Rudolph?
I know.
Right.
Not even how much better than, it's is he better, period.
I can assure you they've had that debate over there.
Do you know what I would tell you Mason Rudolph would probably, they would do with him? Because even though he's not mobile, he's probably a little bit more spry than Ben just because he's so much younger. I think if they put him in there, you would see him run the offense
that,
like, more that Canada is intending to run. I think he would try to.
I think if Mason Rudolph started the game, what the Steelers, now the execution is another story, but what the Steelers attempted to do offensively would be more in line with what fans want the Steelers to do. They would come out and try to run the ball.
He would turn his back on play action.
I think
he would do some ball handling, or not RPO stuff, because he's slow as molasses.
But he
would do the things where he puts his body, quote unquote, at risk the way Ben still is not crazy about doing, which is turning away from the defense and then trying to chuck one.
And we talked about this in preseason, how whenever we saw each one of the quarterbacks go in, the offense did change for everybody. We didn't see Ben that much, but the offense did change from Mason to your boy Haskins to even
who
Dobbs.
Who moves better than both, well, right. not as well as Dobbs, better than Dobbs in a walking
game. And I even said this in preseason. I was like, this offense that Matt Canada runs fits a more mobile quarterback. His real offense, if you want to run his real offense,
Peterman in college was much more mobile relative to the competition.
Yes.
That's why it never
made sense for me to have Ben play in the Matt Canada offense.
Well, I was listening to you guys the other day with Ed Bouchette, and he was like, what do you say? Matt Canada was signed before Ben was going to come back, right?
Yep.
So I think that they, in their mind, were like, hey, we have to prepare for the future of this offense. If Ben comes back, all right. So,
but this, and Ben said, "Yeah, I'll take the bag here. Thank you."
But this is like
kind of messed up the plans.
I know, but this is like you bought, you know, you made plans to make a Thanksgiving turkey, and your wife comes home from the grocery store and she bought like filet mignons instead.
You make both.
You don't have the turkey anymore, and everything else you've got stuffing and mashed potatoes and like.
I think if my wife came home with a bunch of filet mignons, I'd be like, "Honey, we'll make the stuffing and cranberry sauce work."
Well, it depends on how hungry you are. If you're hungry, you'll eat it, and it'll all be good, right?
I do think the mobility thing is legit with Canada's offense, and I think Rudolph – you know what Rudolph would do, I think, in that offense? Not saying
suck.
It would work well.
I mean, he'd have happy feet behind that line. He very rarely looks comfortable, I think, with that line.
But I think he would not have the agency that Ben has to say, I'm not doing all this pre-snap motion. They would run it the way they really want to run it. But very quickly, what have I said all week about Ben? Those pump fakes don't look like a man trying to move the defense. They look like a guy hesitating. So say the pec hurts, right? We're laughing because I threw the ball 6 feet to you. He's really cutting it loose. That's probably when it's going to hurt. I do think one thing Rudolph would do if they played him, if Ben is really this banged up, I think he would at least take shots over the middle, which is the one thing they are definitively not doing. Their offense is either run the ball and everyone laughs because it sucks so bad.
You don't think those Bengals safeties would have him a little bit gun-shy?
Maybe. But, I mean, right now, are those Bengals safeties even going to play 10 yards off the line of scrimmage? Play in the box. Or just go and shade the sideline and say, we're not going to let a 40-yard bomb to Chase Claypool beat us.
You're also forgetting about the whole pec injury. I mean, he does hand the ball off with his right arm, with his left arm.
Mm-hmm. And that would probably hurt worse, huh?
Yeah.
Than anything.
You know, Najee pulling down on his arm.
Well, then I think that Ben is going to go to the coaches and say, this handoff business, we can't.
Remember that shotgun thing that puts me far away from the defense? Let's do that.
Text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text on Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. Coming up next, Solomon Wilcots, the wisdom of Solomon, longtime NFL on CBS analyst, based out of Cincinnati, played for the Bengals, and knows the Steelers after all those years covering them. Our next guest did great work for the NFL on CBS for years. He played defensive back for the Bengals. And now, per the piece of paper that I've just been handed, he's doing a podcast with Adam Pac-Man Jones.
Mm.
You're nodding yes over there, Dorn. Does that excite you?
That does. Always been a fan of...
He's a loose cannon, Pac-Man Jones, isn't he?
He is.
Did you play college football against him?
I did not, but we have the same agent, so...
Yeah, he seems like a... Very interesting character.
He just was in a boxing match in the rowdy.
He was?
Whatever,
he was?
The rough and rowdy, yeah.
Who on their in their right mind gets in the ring with a guy that was a former NFL cornerback?
I think he lost.
He what? Lost?
I think so.
To wow. who? Who was he fighting? Butterbean?
Those rough and rowdy. You know those fights with the Barstool? They just set up these fights? Yeah, he was
like
a celebrity
understand.
Fighter.
I get what I know what they are, but they're like glorified tough man contests with just like random dudes. Yeah.
Solomon Wilcots joins us right now. Solomon, can you confirm any of this? Is Pac-Man Jones now a celebrity boxer?
He is, and a very good one. Now, you know, you step in a ring with real boxers, you find out how much harder you need to work, but... Hey, listen, the guy could always scrap, so you know that. So
yeah.
Let that stand on its own merit.
Let me ask you a question, and you're so good at the X's and O's stuff. Let me ask you a question about a matchup, a game within the game for Sunday Steelers-Bengals matchup. How about Juju versus Mike Hilton in the slot? Give me a little bit on that, Solomon.
Well, you know, these guys used to be teammates. Mike Hilton's a really good player, and it's more than just him in coverage because he works and coordinates a lot of what he does with linebackers and blitzing, and he factors in the run game. He is a really good player. The problem is, you know, Juju has been getting open for years. It's just a matter of can they get him the ball. When Ben's playing, the answer tends to be yes. When Ben's not playing, the answer tends to be no.
Solomon, let's just say you're a head coach, okay? You're starting
Coach Wilcots.
Coach Wilcots. You're dispensing the wisdom of Solomon to your roster. You are getting to pick. You can have one of the following two safeties on your roster.
Ooh.
You can't have the other one, though. Minka Fitzpatrick or Jesse Bates?
Wow. Listen, first of all, it's close.
Okay.
The fact that one guy was an All-American in college, played for a national championship team, and was a first-round pick in Minka Fitzpatrick. You're going to take Minka. But if you ended up with Jesse Bates, you're not upset with that. So sometimes, you know, people can ask you questions, and it sounds like because you didn't take a guy, you're down on a guy. The way you presented the question, it seems like one is good, one is not. But you and I both know they're both really good.
I maybe was leaning that way because the most recent thing Steelers fans saw from Minka, and Minka himself admitted that it was his fault, is him getting scorched over the top by Henry Ruggs. And I do know Bates is like one of the all-time right now in the current NFL underappreciated great players.
Over the last 3 years, he's been one of the highest graded safeties in the game, along with Justin Simmons, the safety playing for the Denver Broncos.
Yep.
Now, Minka began his career as one of those guys, but over the last, say, from 2020 to through now, I would say not. But you and I both know through his first 2 years, including 2019 when he first joined the Steelers, he was certainly in that group, and he'll remain in that. What we're talking about is a recency bias. Last time you saw him, he gave up a play. Everybody who's played in this league gave up a play. You know, I remember when Rod Woodson was with the Steelers, I played with him. He gave up a play early in his career, a time or two, but it's over the long haul that we grade these players. Minka's a great player.
Solomon, you know the theme whenever you're playing in the league is that you're still considered a rookie until the third game of your second season. Assessing Joe Burrow coming off of an injury to his knee, how has he looked, in your opinion, so far? Does he look like a rookie, or does he look like a player that is starting to become a little bit savvy of the game?
I think a little bit of both. There's times he does still look like a rookie. There's times he looks like he's very savvy and ahead of the learning curve, right? And that's what you get with younger players. You tend to get fluctuating performances, and you've got to remain patient with those players because you got to be able to see and play the long game.
Yep.
You got to see down the road and who they're going to be. You look at any great quarterback who played for the Steelers, you and I both know they may have started off rocky or maybe started off being inconsistent. But once they smooth it out, they went on to become Hall of Famers. And I think the same is going to be said for Ben. We know that's how it was with Terry. And but you just got to ride it out because you can see some of the greatness within him. And I think Joe's been the same way.
Solomon Wilcots, our guest. What are you seeing out of Ben so far this year, Solomon? What are your observations on him at this stage in his career?
He's still a gamer. Ben can make plays. As you get older, and I remember at the end of John Elway's career, it was the same way. as the quarterback gets older, they need the team around them to be better. They need everyone else to be better. You need the offensive line to be better, the run game to be better, the defense to be better. John Elway was phenomenal in the early days of his career. So was Dan Marino. They carried the team. But John didn't win till later, until the team got good around him. And the same is true for Ben. I think as people evaluate that situation, just know that the team around him has to get better, or it's not gonna go well. And so he's 38, 18th season, but yet the run game's not as good, and the defense is starting to fracture, as we saw last week. It's easy to point to the quarterback, but you guys know that the autopsy ought to read that, man. A lot of people are giving up plays that used to didn't give up plays, and we still can't run the football. And as long as I've been around, the Pittsburgh Steelers have always been able to run the ball, and that's how they've always expected to win.
Well, Solomon, if Sherlock Holmes was on the case trying to find out the culprit of who done it with the Steelers, if this season doesn't go well, I think there's going to be a bunch of giant lit-up arrows pointing to the offensive line, because Ben's gotten rid of the ball faster than any quarterback through 2 weeks on average, but he's still getting hit a ton. How much, in your opinion, can an offensive line that's this new, that has this many new moving parts, improve in 1 year?
The Kansas City Chiefs redid their whole offensive line. The Raiders, the team you just played against,
yep,
they redid their entire offensive line this offseason. So, I mean, that kind of answers it, right?
But they're putting big bucks into it, Solomon. The Chiefs spent big dough. Well, we're spending third and fourth round picks on these guys.
Well, maybe that's the answer. But I do know they did redo their offensive line. They have five new starters on both of those offensive lines. So his question was, how quickly can it take, and how fast can you get that done?
I
think you can get it done quickly. We have seen it done, but you've got to make sure you pick the right pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would be concerned about the horses then that they've picked here.
Solomon, Sean McVay started a trend a couple years ago of the young offensive-minded head coaches, and Zach Taylor, who's the head coach, obviously, of the Cincinnati Bengals, was one of his disciples. He was an assistant quarterbacks coach. He coached underneath Sean McVay for a couple years. Is Zach Taylor the guy for the Cincinnati Bengals? Is he the guy that is going to get the Bengals into the playoffs? Is he the guy that's going to make the Bengals a competent team in the division?
You know, the win-loss record speaks for itself, right?
Yeah.
I like Zach. I think he's a great guy. You could be a great guy. I remember when Marvin Lewis first got there. His early years, he struggled, and then it clicked, right? And no matter how much you like the guy, you're still late, you got to win. If you don't win, they're going to make a move to make some changes. He's got good players, man. It's Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow and some other good, you know, T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. I mean, he's got Joe Mixon. He's got some good players. And so this thing has to begin to turn around, and you've got to start racking up some wins. Nobody is in this because you like someone's business. It's a results-driven business, and that has to take place in order for this to continue.
Solomon, do you feel like this is kind of the consolation bracket of the AFC North? You've got the Browns and you got the Ravens. Are the Steelers and Browns, like, is this like a bronze medal game type situation? Or is this like a battle? No, I'm serious, though. Is this kind of the battle for the third place spot in the division from your perspective?
You guys must be spoiled, man. See, I thought Pittsburgh was like tough guy. Mentally tough and physically tough guy.
Well, then we watched Ben get hit 10. Then we got, we watched Ben get hit 10 times on Sunday.
Man. Are you kidding me? We're 2 weeks into the season and you're ready to throw in the towel? You guys really surprised me.
Solomon, we got guys on ESPN saying they got to sign Cam Newton.
The guys on this show used to be tough guys. Mm.
Wow.
I'm serious. I can't believe this. I really can't.
All right, Solomon, well, then put us in our place. You want to pick the Steelers to win the division? That would be great. That'd be reassuring right now.
Well, I can tell you're not. Somebody has to. Somebody's got to believe.
Well, step right up, Solomon. We'll put you right in the batter's box. Call your shot like Babe Ruth.
As soon as I get off, I'm calling my good buddy Merrill Hodge on this group. I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Well, I mean, you're talking to two guys here, Solomon.
You guys are packing it in.
We want it.
Packing it in after 2 weeks.
We didn't even want them to bring Ben back, so that should show you where we were at after last year.
Yep.
Woo. Wow.
Solomon, I've seen those pro football focus grades. They're ugly.
The last 20, The last 20 years have been great to you guys, haven't it? Last 30.
Well, it's a bunch of spoiled children in this town. That part you've got right. You win like the Steelers win, and everyone just can't handle anything worse than 8-8.
They haven't won a playoff game in 4 years, Solomon. That's an eternity.
Hey, but the playoffs haven't even begun yet. We're 2 weeks in, and you act like it's not going to happen this year. I mean, really. That's where you're going.
Well, then I'm asking you to rank the four teams in the AFC North for me, Solomon. You're beating around the bush.
He's crushing you, Pony.
No, I've already ranked them. I ranked them at the beginning of the season. What I'm trying to explain to you, that hasn't changed 2 weeks in.
Okay, so what were the preseason rankings for Solomon?
I actually picked Cleveland to win the division.
Okay.
I picked Pittsburgh to be second.
Okay.
And Baltimore to be third. And I picked all three of them to make the playoffs.
Oh. All right, so the sky isn't falling for Solomon.
Yeah, he's not a Chicken Little like
you.
You
know what? Hey, when they were 12-0, you guys didn't believe. You just thought everything was great.
No, actually, Solomon, I thought when they were 11-0, I was the one telling everybody that they weren't even close to as good as their record and that they were in deep trouble.
Well, we're the prophets of doom here, Solomon.
You saw things that the rest of us didn't see. We ought to check to see if you got horse hair under people's pillows or something.
Yeah, we're the four horsemen of the apocalypse in this studio, Solomon.
You can imagine why I'm very popular with our listeners after an 11-0 start. I'm saying, hey, this team kind of sucks, guys.
I mean, if we could get Pac-Man in here to dig on the Steelers, it'd be even better. Maybe we could set that up sometime, too. He's got some choice words for this team.
We'll get that done. I'm sure he'll really love talking about Joey Porter and Mike Munchak and all of that, right? I see where you're going with this.
Solomon, you're the best. We'll check out your podcast with Pac-Man, okay?
All right, guys. Take care.
There you go.
You hear that wind in the background? I mean, that's the life.
He's on the golf course.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably pulling
busting
out,
our balls.
Pulling out an 8-iron right now. He's probably 160 yards in.
Had one of his buddies put him on speaker for a second. Yeah. Keeps talking right
your through
the Your
boy Lewis Riddick said that the Steelers need to start thinking about playing Dwayne Haskins, Doran.
He said that?
And he's getting on our case.
That's, yeah, Riddick gave
that's
maybe
Lewis
the
Riddick,
all-time sky is falling.
Lewis tape. Riddick, the guy everyone brags and says he's the smartest guy in the room.
Solomon's been doing this a lot longer than Lewis. So, if I had to pick.
That's
pit
on pit crime, Doran, what you're doing right now.
It's life.
That's life.
It's reality. Solomon's been doing it since I can remember watching football. So.
Take that, Lewis Riddick. Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey, Kia, Wexford, North Huntington, Uniontown. Here's what we have next. If you know football and you want to win tickets to a game, call us right now, 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. You're going to have a chance to win tickets to a game next, but you have to show us how smart you are, how much you know about football.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.